Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Basement Binge, a movie that I'm very excited to review. Since seeing it, I've been waiting for the chance to sit down and record this because Creed 3, as you saw the title, has been one of my most anticipated films of the year. I love the first film. If you've listened to the past episodes, you know that I previously hadn't seen the second one, but I did love the first one. Jonathan Majors continues to amaze me, and Michael B. Jordan was directing. The trailers kept exciting me. I was just really, really excited for this. So let's just start talking about it with the first segment here, 2 cents. This segment is spoiler-free. Spoilers will be coming later, but if you haven't seen the film, feel free to stick around for this. So 2 cents here, spoiler-free thoughts. And in honesty, I don't even know where to begin with this movie because there's so much that I love about it. I have so many positive things to say. What I have to say first, though, for the Creed films, some of the two best things they did is moving to LA and adding Jonathan Majors. It just completely changes the vibe of the film in LA, and it works so well for this film. I mean, Philly was great, but LA works for Creed the way that Philly worked for Rocky. It's awesome. Jonathan Majors, he is just the greatest of the greatest villain here, antagonist. He has this exceptional role to fill, and this villain, if you want to call him that, is not totally black and white. You can't paint him into one corner. You feel such of a range of emotions with and for this character. And the posters, as an example, of him sitting there in the corner of the boxing room, almost relaxed, staring you down, is the perfect depiction of this character. He almost feels invincible in the best way possible. I cannot wait to see more of Jonathan Majors in Magazine Dreams. And I also found out that Jonathan Majors is in The Harder They Fall on Netflix that I've been wanting to check out. So maybe if you want to review that, let me know, but check that out. And additionally, Devotion, which I won from Matt at Mago's The Movie. So I'm excited to check those out to get more of Jonathan Majors. If you also want to win some movies, as a side note, go check out Matt Goes to the Movies. Linked below and wherever podcasts are streaming. Matt's a great friend of mine. Also be reviewing The Mandalorian over on that show. Anyway, enough about that. Let's keep talking about Creed here. Creed, as the series and the franchise, continues to push Adonis and his story and his family in great realistic ways. Nothing in this is underdone. Nothing is overdone or forced for the sake of drama or conflict. This is a real story with real emotions and legitimate stakes and decisions made by characters who are living their lives as best they can. Michael B. Jordan makes that work. He makes the emotions work throughout the entire film. On top of that, he also makes the fight scenes look and feel different, but still feel fluid and intense, and you're right there in it. Each Creed film has made the fights feel different and had different dynamics of it that I really, really liked. Each entry feels unique, and this is another example of it. The fight scenes are quick and intense and slow and suspenseful in all the right moments, and that is also carries through the whole film, not just in the fight scenes. If you listen to my last review of Creed 2, I mentioned how I really like the faraway camera angles, the wide shots. Michael B. Jordan must like close shots because you get a lot, even with the same DP, the same cinematographer, you get a lot of really super tight shots, and it looks and really works well for the film. It looks great. Speaking of Michael B. Jordan, he also is starring in this film. He's not just directing, but he and Tessa Thompson are amazing together. Their chemistry is just off the charts good. They feel like a genuine real couple. And when I got out of the movie, I was sad to find out that they weren't, because they're just so good on screen together. As I was driving to this movie, I was re-listening to the She-Hulk review that I did with Matt Robb at Matt Goes to the Movies. And we were talking about how She-Hulk and Daredevil had fantastic chemistry together. And I was like, yeah, I'm kind of longing for that again. And then this movie started and I got it. Tessa Thompson and Michael B. Jordan in their respective characters feel like a real couple together. And that's needed for the drama and the stakes of this film. And when I say stakes, I don't just mean like the fight. Like, it's not just winning or losing a fight. There's so much personal conflict involved in this. And you need those characters to carry the emotions well as a couple and as individuals. And they do that both. In addition, with Mila Davis-Kent playing Amara, their daughter, they feel like a real family, which adds to the story exceptionally well. Now, Michael B. Jordan also has great chemistry with Jonathan Majors. They work really well, really well together. There's this fantastic interview with the New York Times that I'm going to link below that I really recommend reading if you can, that reveals how the two of them kind of figured out how to work together, and they're both kind of alpha male status, but making it collaborative. And they've formed a real partnership and are talking about future movies. In the interview, Majors joked that they are going to be De Niro and Pacino, just as like a quip, to which Jordan replied, "We're excited about that, and I have those conversations with him. Acting is such a solo journey when you're fighting for your place and that call sheet for such a long time. So when you've got somebody that doesn't care as much about all that stuff, it's like, let's go. How much damage can we do together?" Which Jonathan Majors said, "All of it." So I really do hope we get that, because they are fantastic together. They work so well together. Their screen presence, even in this case, when they're antagonistic towards each other, it has an energy to the film that even still, as I'm just talking about it, I feel, and it's hard to explain and get from other things, because they have it in bucket loads. And it's really true. I can't wait to see this film again, because it feels so powerful and emotional. It feels like I need to go back again to get it all. And I don't think that the type of story that was Creed, I didn't think that could be duplicated. I kind of mentioned that in the Creed 2 review, that like the story that was in Creed, the first film, and how it was depicted, like that's something that can only come along every once in a while. And so even every time there's another, I'm like, oh, you know, is it going to be ruined? Is this character growth going to be undone? And Creed 2 didn't do that. So I don't know why I was even still worried about that. But Creed 3 isn't the same as 3. It's not trying to repeat it, but it gives me the same vibes in that it's a story that can only happen from time to time within the right circumstances. Creed as like a, just aside from franchise, just Creed as a solo movie and the story that was told, that was a story that could be told when those circumstances, and makes it unique, and that makes it powerful. And Creed 3, as part of this trilogy and the story that's been told with this character, this is a story that can only be told now, and it works. Just, it is just so good. And to me, this is going to be one of the greatest trilogies ever. I really sincerely love it. Now, all the classic things that you've come to expect from these movies, Rocky and Creed, like the training scenes, the drama and fight leading up to it, the actual fight scenes, it all looks great. It's what you have come to expect at a really high level. And this was shot in IMAX, and it really shows from the visuals and the sound of it. It was awesome seeing it in IMAX. It really just adds to being engulfed in that environment of it all. Adonis has a lot he has to work against. And in all this fighting and in this story, Adonis has a lot he has to work against. And what I love in these fights is that it's not just, as much as this movie was inspired by anime that Michael B. Jordan has confirmed, he doesn't gain some, you know, to the negative extent, anime power from the power of family. It's genuinely hard work that he puts in the character of Adonis, and it makes a difference in the fight and in his life. And it's good to see in the story. And I'm kind of just jumping around here to my different thoughts, but I want to go back to Jonathan Majors' character, Dame, as a character that's introduced into the series and to the story. The way that he's brought into it and changes the stakes is perfect. And the way that Jonathan Majors plays him, he said in that New York Times interview again that we've had years with Adonis as a character, and now he has to come in and feel like he had a legitimate life and was part of Adonis's life, but he has one movie to do. He doesn't have two, and he does it exceptionally well. It works so well. He isn't just a battle for Adonis the way that kind of Victor was. In the boxing ring, but in life. And that makes the story compelling here. It's more than just a boxing movie. It's not just the physical battle, but all the battles emotionally that are connected to it. Now, the other thing that seems to be everywhere that a lot of people are talking about is Sylvester Stallone's character, Rocky, not being a part of this. You know, a lot of bad blood between him and the producer here and not wanting the story to go to a certain direction and not being able to produce and not having the rights to a character that he pretty much created and all that. And that's a bummer that he's not here. I like Sylvester Stallone. I really praise him in the last two films, particularly the first. But he's not here. And whether you want to admit it or not, it actually still works without him. I didn't feel his loss very much. In fact, if the articles and the media hadn't drawn as much attention to him not being in it, I don't think I would have really noticed. Like, I would have noticed, like, oh, where's Rocky? Well, actually, maybe I would have been distracted by it more. I don't know. Like, if I expected him to be here and he wasn't, I would have felt him not being here. But because I knew he wasn't, I was okay with him not there. And it actually worked. Now, not just in the film world, but like in the character, in this character's world, in the story of Creed and in real life, but connecting to the story. Things change. Life moves on. Situations adapt. And sometimes people in our life that are important aren't there forever for good and bad reasons. Rocky ended up where he belongs at the end of Creed 2 with his own family. Adonis was a great addition to his family. I like to imagine that maybe they FaceTime every once in a while, but he's where he belongs, and it feels natural, and it feels that in this time frame that they've had, that they've both moved on respectively with their lives and with their families, and Adonis isn't fighting anymore. Rocky was there to help him fight, and the second film was, for Rocky, was so much about him being with his family that it makes sense that he's moved on. He's somewhere else. And as much as I love Sylvester Stallone, and he was great in the other films, it didn't need him. The screen presence of Tessa Thompson, Jonathan Majors, and Michael B. Jordan, and all the other characters, but those three in particular, they make up for anything that could be lost. Now, the last kind of few thoughts that I'll say here, in all this emotion that I've talked about this film and how well it delivers, I never felt like my emotions were being cheated. I did cry, but that's just because the emotions were powerful. Now, the only sad thing I have to say is that there weren't many people there enjoying the movie with me on March 3rd, which is when the film was the technical release date. Now, maybe that's because they had a lot of, like, they had an IMAX event on Wednesday and then an early access screens on Thursday, and it was on a Friday at, like, 1 o'clock or something like that in the middle of the afternoon. But there were probably, like, 10 of us in the whole theater, which was kind of a bummer. So go see this movie if you haven't already. So far, it's had a $58 million opening. About half as much as Ant-Man for comparison, even though that's not a fair comparison because this isn't a Marvel movie and it shouldn't perform that way. I think that it's doing well. It's so far at $62 million domestically and $105 worldwide. So I think it's doing great. I hope that people continue to see this movie. I think the word of mouth. So, I mean, I think the positive critical response that it's getting and the praise, I mean, it's currently sitting at an 87 on Rotten Tomatoes, if you care about that, and 96 audience score. Like, it's getting good reviews. I think it's going to get people to go and see it, and I hope so, because people should go see this movie. So that's enough for 2 cents. If you want to support the show and you're enjoying this episode, or you enjoy The Basin Binge, I'd really appreciate it if you leave a review on Podchaser. Podchaser.com/TheBasinBinge, linked below. It allows you to leave reviews, not just on the podcast as a whole, but each individual episode, which is really helpful. So leave a review. Let me know your thoughts. Maybe you want to see me do a review on The Harder They Fall or Devotion. Let me know. I'd love to do it. So all of that linked below. Moving on to the next segment here, Pick Your Poison. This is the rating scale here at The Basin Binge, all about the bingeability of the film. How would I choose to interact with it after watching it this time? I think this rating scale is going to have to change. Streaming's really changed some stuff. I'm actually in the process of currently selling some of my Blu-rays, so that's weird. But nonetheless, the rating scale is currently, if I would never watch it again, if I would stream it, meaning it's on a service I'm already paying for, and I'm just browsing something to watch, I would click on it. Top of that is rent. Above that is rented. In the right circumstances, I'd pay a few dollars. And then above the list, I would buy it. That's the top prize it can get. And this is absolutely a movie that I'm going to buy. Even as I'm trying to minimize and have less physical movies here, this is one that I think that I will have, because this trilogy is something that I enjoy. I'm already trying to find time in my schedule to go see it again in theaters. This is a trilogy that I'm going to watch again, especially 1 and 3 that I think are the strongest. I already want to see it again as soon as possible, and I know I'm going to be seeing it again when it's released at home. So this is a buy, 100%. Now, let's move on to the next segment, Live Up. This is where I talk about my expectations going into the film and, you know, what I really thought about them. You know, was it able to live up to the expectations as the the name of the segment really says. So outside of Ryan Coogler, for this film, the writing and directing crew is very new and inexperienced. I think the most prominent, like outside of Ryan Coogler, the writer with the most credits, I think, has three. And then this other writer has two credits. One of those being the new Space Jam movie. So say for that what you will. And then Michael B. Jordan hasn't directed at all before. I love him, but I didn't want his first attempt in something to ruin the potential that a third Creed film could have. And so I was really excited, but I was slightly nervous. And the movie started and all of that went away. I was just absolutely floored by everything I was watching. I was continually impressed over and over and over again. Maybe that's because becoming a director feels like a giant hurdle that I would obviously love to get over myself and direct. And I was just extremely impressed that this is his first entry. It did not disappoint. This feels like a full-fledged blockbuster. Now, he's got producers and writers and a first assistant director that are there to help him that are carrying a lot of that weight too. He's not alone. I get that. But directing is a big deal, especially directing big stars and performers that he is and action, and he doesn't disappoint at all. Majors was better than I expected him, and that's saying a lot. So this film really just exceeded everything I was expecting. The story was better than I expected. The emotions were just as strong as the best Creed has given in the past. It was just a win all around. Love the film. Really, I can't praise it enough. Spoiler free, you just need to go see the movie. Now, believe me, there is plenty more that I have to say about Creed 3. I still have to tell you about my favorite scene and eventually discuss Fall In, which is where I discuss the powerful emotional messages this film holds that are so amazing. But we're going to get on to that next round of the fight after this brief interruption.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome back to your regular scheduled program here. Thank you for supporting the show with your patience by listening to that. On to the next round right away with binge points. Now, I will let you know, these are where spoilers are going to come. Binge points are Easter eggs, details, behind-the-scenes trivia, that type of stuff. And then additionally, the next few segments, least and likes, and my favorite scene, least favorite scene, and following where I get into the messages is going to be heavy in spoilers. So there's your spoiler warning. But binge points, Easter eggs, details, those types of things. This was filmed with IMAX cameras. Not only was it released in IMAX, it was filmed with IMAX cameras. It's the first sports film shot with IMAX cameras, which is kind of cool. And I love Michael B. Jordan's reaction to this. When he was told that, he's like, oh, I found that out after we were shooting. He's like, oh, that's nice. It's like an ESPN stat. I'll take that. Like, he's not overly dramatic or like pretentious about it, but he also understands it's cool. And I just, you know, that was a good solid reaction. Not overdone. Now, I mentioned that Michael B. Jordan did confirm that anime did influence this. There's some references when he's in the young Adonis's room. There's posters of Lupin the Third, Gundam, and Naruto. Michael B. Jordan talks about the fight scene that he has with Jonathan Majors that's in that white void and how that was inspired by anime and how there's so many of those scenes where their fight isn't them talking, and he actually had subtitles on that scene. Like, he just does a lot. He mentions Hajime no Ippo, I think is how you say it. Ippo, I don't know. I've never seen it. Megalobox, and then some Naruto and My Hero Academia. So there's references to Dragon Ball Z everywhere. Clearly, Michael B. Jordan is influenced by anime. So all you anime lovers, that's pretty cool. Now, some other cool details in the kind of the, not the prequel, the beginning, the prologue. Young Damien kind of boasts that he's going to take out the fighter with a particular move at the end, which he does. But then at the final fight, Adonis uses that same move against Damien to knock him out, which is pretty cool. Now, as far as getting in shape, Michael B. Jordan always stays in shape. From what I was able to find, his trainer mentioned that he doesn't let him get more than 6 weeks out of fitness, so it wasn't too hard to get in shape, but he did have to work out 90 minutes twice a day, 6 days a week for 4 months to get in shape, and him and Jonathan Majors both look great. Additionally, I love to see Victor back. Glad he's on good terms with Adonis. And also, there's that reference to Wakanda that we all heard during the train image montage with that song, so that's pretty fun. Moving on to the next segment here, least and likes. My least favorite scene and my favorite scene. Now, before I get into my least or my least and like, I just first want to mention the sign language that I wanted in Creed 2 is finally here. And that's made even better that the actress for Amara, the daughter, Mila Davis-Kent, is deaf. I just love to see that. It's sweet. It's a wonderful addition that was done really, really well, and I love to see it. So, talking about my least favorite scene, it was really hard to pick one. There's not particularly a scene that I dislike. It all feels really fluid and necessary and just vibes well. But as a very, very minor complaint, the time jump in the beginning between like the prologue and then the fight in South Africa against Ricky Conlan, and it's just like Adonis's final fight, and then like jumping to him not being a producer, being like an owner of the ring. I don't know what you would call it, a gym owner. Yeah, like it's a very minor complaint. It didn't affect the film at all, but when it was first happening, like those first 5 or 10 minutes, I was like, oh, I'm a little lost about what time it is, but I figured it out and it wasn't a big deal. Now, as far as my favorite scene, there are so many that I could pick from, but I am going to choose the final fight. I did not see that coming in the way that it would just went down to the two of them, the void, if you want to call it that. And it was so well shot and so well done. Them fighting just each other, the younger versions of themselves, the way that the music cuts out. I just love it. It's just pure fighting. And in that fight, not just in that void scene, but in the whole fight, and also all the times Dame is fighting, I love that they gave him such a different fighting style. I don't know too much about boxing, but even just that physically, the way he carried himself in the ring and the way that he fought and threw punches felt different, and that being unfamiliar, being surprised by him, made the fighting more intense and more nerve-wracking, and it was awesome. And I do just love how Adonis did overwhelm him at the end and just won. It was just a sweet ending. It was a sweet fight. If that's a lame cop-out answer because it's the obvious favorite scene, I will also mention the scene when Adonis and Bianca are talking before the final fight, when she first tells him to go and fight. I believe it's after Maude dies. Just the honest performance of Michael B. Jordan matched perfectly with the honesty and like demand that Tessa brings as Bianca. Like, that is a real relationship, and it's really impactful, and the writing is really well done. It's not too heavy, but it's really honest and real, and I love it. They feel like a couple who really care for each other and want to work things out, but they're also two individuals with challenges that need resolving as individuals, and also the way that influences a relationship. It's just a fantastically done scene. So with that in mind, let's get on to the last segment here, Fall In. This is where I talk about, as my dad always said, the moral of the story, the meaning, the message, the takeaway, those types of things. And as I start this, I want to correct myself in that I called Damien a villain at the beginning of this, and I believe that he's more of a foil to Adonis, which is a lot different than a villain. It actually makes him better to be a foil than just a villain. And it makes the movie more powerful, because this franchise has a lot to do with figuring out who you are and working through who you've been and finding your own legacy within your history. The first film was about Adonis forgiving his dad, Apollo, for not being there. And this film is him forgiving himself for not being his best. And Dame and Adonis both forgiving themselves and allowing that to bring their relationship together for the better. As they're fighting, I love what Duke, the trainer, says: let go of whatever was and walk into what is. Like, that's just a very, very honest approach to what they're dealing with, which is powerful in this film because it's not just an action movie. I feel like it's more of a drama that has fight scenes. It was focused on Dame and Adonis. The boxing was just part of it, which is awesome, because even with that anime-inspired white void where there's no speaking with each other, they're just speaking through the fighting, you feel the emotions of everything leading up to that. It's not just the fight. It's the drama of the emotions. As I mentioned earlier, in that New York Times article, Michael B. Jordan mentioned that there were originally subtitles in that scene that were going to reveal what they were speaking to each other, but he decided to take that out and just do with body language and grunts and that type of stuff. But it works really well. They're in an emotional fight with themselves and with each other as much as they are in a physical fight. And it works exceptionally well. It's powerful because forgiveness for yourself and overcoming guilt is a mental battle. Like moving on from what you feel is in the past that sometimes you want to bury and comes back up. It's fought against individuals from our past that sometimes are ourselves. And it may feel physical at times, but it is mental and emotional. And it's just so individual. And there is a way to get out on top, which I love. It's just powerful stuff to that journey that you have to do to forgive yourself, how real that is. As Duke says, you're out there boxing. I need you to start fighting or something like that. It's a great line. Man, talking about it again just makes me want to see it. I'm getting tickets to see this movie again. So the other things that I want to mention here in Fallen, messages that I really liked, that Adonis says to himself, quoting Rocky from the previous films, one punch, one step, one round at a time. It's fantastic advice for life, especially when dealing with emotional burdens that might be this fight, you know, because Adonis is now there just fighting. He's not just boxing. He's really fighting against Dame and against himself. And I want to get a little personal here. Not too personal, not in a weird way, but I've mentioned in a few podcasts, so if you're new here, this is probably new information. But when I was a young adult from the years of 18 to 20, I served as a missionary for my church. So I left behind my life for 2 years and went and just taught religion. And that was coming to an end. And I was going home. And so my life was about to drastically change. And I was kind of overwhelmed, like, what is life going to be like after this? You know, like I had just graduated high school and then left, and like real life is starting, and I was kind of overwhelmed. And there's this individual who I really admired and looked up to. His name's Casey Craig, but he came to visit me on my last day right before I was getting on the plane to fly home. And he said, how do you live life after a mission? Which is cool, because I told this story kind of wrong. Even when I was being a missionary, sometimes it's hard, it's difficult. And he said to me once, how do you serve a mission? And he said, one day at a time. Even though it's 2 years long, it's truly one day at a time. And so the callback is that on my last day, he came to visit me and he could feel my overwhelm. And I kind of expressed, like, I'm worried about going home and like being an adult in real life and things are changing. And like, is life going to live up to my expectations? And I'm going to be able to move on from the person that I was before this and be the better person that I want to be and all this stuff. It's heavy. And he said, how do you live your life after being a missionary? And he said, one day at a time. And I have to remind myself of that a lot. It's an experience that I really treasure. Now, just for a brief moment, sticking with this missionary thing a little bit, I am religious. I've been studying the Bible, the New Testament in particular, this year. And in a recent verse that I read when Jesus Christ is teaching his disciples in Matthew 6, he says, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It's... you know, if you want to translate that, is don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. You have enough to deal with today, in essence. Don't fight tomorrow's battles with today's energy. That is true all the time, but especially when dealing with emotional struggles like Adonis is in this moment. And it's just powerful advice. You know, you can say it like Jesus Christ did. You can say it like Casey Craig did, one day at a time. You can say it like Rocky and Adonis did, one punch, one step, one round at a time. But the principle is true. You got to live now. You got to be now because your battle's now. It's not tomorrow. You're going to deal with tomorrow. Tomorrow, you're dealing with today, right now. And that's something that I got to remind myself more and more of. And so I just really liked it. The last thing that I want to mention comes from this note that Tessa Thompson revealed. Her and Michael B. Jordan went to marriage therapy together as characters. Even though they have separate relationships in real life, they went together as characters. This is Tessa Thompson speaking. She said, since we've been making these movies for 8-9 years, we've seen each other through various stages in our own romantic things. So we know stuff about each other's lives. We shared and talked about it. So therapy ended up starting at work and getting more personal. Also, was it just a chance for us to really talk to a couple's therapist and understand what are some of the things young parents who are trying to balance their own dreams and aspirations? What are the themes that you see? What are the things that they might be up against? What might be their impediments to happiness or success as a couple? That was really fascinating also to hear from her and bring that into the stew, which I just loved, because that is a huge part of it. As much as Adonis is fighting his guilt and his battle against Dame, the way that those emotional burdens, that baggage, that trauma, whatever you want to call it, influences a relationship is complex, because Because outside of the emotional difficulties, you're two adults with dreams and aspirations, and you have a family, and trying to balance that, that's something that I'm living right now, including the dreams and aspirations of content creation. As I mentioned earlier, like, I wanted to be a director for a long time. I wanted to be a filmmaker, and that's changing. Aspirations are changing with responsibility. It's a struggle of being adult, and that part is one thing that you do have to take one at a time, like I mentioned earlier. But that's a real challenge in a relationship, and it's a good challenge, and it's totally worthwhile. But then you throw in all this emotional baggage that sometimes comes up from a moment, you know, like some individual from your past arriving or whatever it may be. You don't always control it. That suddenly gets incredibly complex and really strenuous on the relationship and can be really, really hard. And I love that they brought that into it. They're parents now. As much as it is Adonis dealing with his past, it's Adonis who is now a husband and a father and a writer dealing with his past. It's different. It's more complex. And I really, truly felt that because I'm in that right now. Life as an adult is a struggle, and you have to try and make it work with your family and responsibilities and understand how that family and responsibilities changes your dreams, sometimes for the better, and how sometimes in those brief moments when you see someone performing your song, as Dame's character says to Bianca, or Dame, Jonathan Majors' character Dame says to Tessa Thompson's character Bianca, sometimes you have to understand that even in those brief moments that might be bittersweet, the rest of the moments that are changing that moment are for the better. And that is just really honest and sincere and sometimes not the best news to hear, but I loved it. What I love the most, though, is that Bianca and Adonis's characters support each other even when they aren't their best. In this particular case, Adonis not being himself, not being his best, not being himself. When you're confused, when you don't communicate, sometimes you take things out on each other. When your emotional difficulties affect your relationship for the negative, you don't give up on each other. You work through it. You learn to communicate. You're there for each other. You're compassionate. You're patient. You're willing to understand this person's not themselves. What's going on? Let me help them work through it and be demanding in the things that have to happen while they're working through it, but also not adding more pressure to it. And I really love that. I kept waiting for the moment when Bianca was going to come and add more unnecessary pressure to the character of Adonis, and she doesn't. She has very real pressure that, hey, you got to work this out. You got to learn to communicate. You got to learn to talk about your problems. You can't just go treat life like a punching bag. Your daughter has to see your example. That was real. I mean, like, that's a real demand. There's nothing wrong about that, but it wasn't some unnecessary, you're horrible, I'm leaving you forever drama that was unneeded. She's there. She's patient. She's supportive, but she's also honest about what has to happen. And so you just get all these complex things, dealing with aspirations and being a parent and being in a couple and working together through those difficulties as one day at a time, one step, one punch, one step, one round at a time, work through the emotional baggage that sometimes comes up, including forgiving yourself. That is just a complex, powerful depiction of reality while you're watching incredibly directed and well-performed fight scenes with characters that are emotionally dense, and it's just powerful. It's just really, really, really powerful, and I loved it. So if you haven't seen Creed and you've listened to this all the way through, go and see Creed 3. If you've seen Creed 3 and you've listened to this all the way through, let me know what you thought of it, and maybe go see it again because it's that good. I really, really sincerely love this movie. Can't wait to see it again. Can't wait to keep reviewing some movies here at the Basin Binge. So we got All Quiet on the Western Front coming up, just so you know, and then getting back into animation season. Really excited with that Animation Hall of Fame 3 coming back. So really exciting things happening. Make sure you subscribe to the Basement Binge. If you want to hear my thoughts about the new Mandalorian series that's streaming, just go check out Matt Goes to the Movies, linked below. Also, just Matt Goes to the Movies, wherever you get podcasts, I'll be on that every week. So exciting stuff happening. Make sure you're subscribed. Thanks so much for being here. If you haven't heard it enough, my name is Harrison. This is the Basement Binge. That's all for now. Ciao, ciao.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.